You're listening to the Beth Williams Indie Americana Songwriter Podcast, episode number one. Hello, my beautiful friends, and welcome to the Beth Williams Indie Americana Songwriter Podcast. This is my very first episode, and I'm super excited. Thank you for joining me. I'm coming to you from Colorado, USA, over on the Western Slope. And boy, do I have a special treat. I'm doing a Skype interview with singer-songwriter Stephen Paul Wallace, who's located in Fort Collins, Colorado. Stephen has a couple of CDs out. He has one called These Roads, all original, of course, because this is an indie songwriter show. And then he followed that up with his self-titled CD, Stephen Paul Wallace, which is actually an EP. So we're on Skype. How are you, Stephen?
I'm great. How are you?
I am just doing great. So this is pretty exciting. So I've got some questions here that I'm going to ask you. You don't know what they are, but they're very easy. My first question is, when did you first know you wanted to play music? What was your first inspiration? What happened that made you go, oh, I'm going to do that?
Wow, that's not that easy of a question. I have to go way back. It was a long time ago when I was a kid. And I think that what it was this old show I used to watch called Hootenanny. And it was in around about 1960, and they had all these folk singers on there, the Kingston Trio, and had the New Christie Minstrels, and all kinds of people, Dylan and Joan Baez and all that. And I watched them playing and singing and playing guitars and banjos and such, and I really got a kick out of it. And I just felt like I wanted to do that.
And so how old would you say you were about, roundabout?
Well, if it was 1960, I would have been six.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you got the passion very, very early then.
I didn't really start playing any instruments for a while, though, but I used to listen to that and sing along.
Okay, and so how old were you when you got your first instrument, and what was it?
Well, in a few years later, probably when I was maybe 8 to 10 years old, I got a clarinet. My folks decided that I could play clarinet in the school band. I never continued with clarinet for very long, maybe till I was 12 or so, but I did learn how to read music from that experience. Of course, not very well. I like to always say, there was an old jazz player that used to say, I can read music, but not enough to hurt me none.
Right. Not enough to hurt you none. Okay. So then when did you start playing the guitar? Because that's your main instrument now, right?
Yes. I started playing guitar when I was 12. That I can remember clearly.
So tell us about your first live performance or your first band.
That was kind of interesting because my first gig when I was in junior high school, I played at a high school dance. Some guys in the band were in high school, but I was younger. But they let me play along anyway because I was good enough.
Okay, and so where were you at that time? Where were you located?
At that time, I was living in Apple Valley, California. As you know, I moved around a lot growing up. I was there for maybe 5 years.
So I know why you've moved around, but tell my audience, why did you move around so much growing up?
Well, like you, I was a military brat. My father was in the Air Force. He was a fighter pilot. And so ever since I could remember when I was a baby, we moved every few years. That was one of the many places we lived.
So what all instruments do you play now? So you play guitar, and what else are you playing?
Well, things that are related to guitar, like bass guitar I play. I have played a little piano. I'm not very fluent at it, but I think all musicians should at least have a working knowledge of piano, especially as songwriters, because you can kind of, it's a real good instrument to have as your second instrument, I think.
Right. You're a true roots artist. And as far as a roots artist, you do everything yourself pretty much. You have your own recording studio. So tell us about your recording process. Where do you record? What equipment do you use? I'm hoping this is going to be an encouragement to other songwriters who are trying to figure out, if they don't have big money and big backing, how they can just do it themselves and get their music out there.
Well, the thing about this day and age that's really great for us is the equipment is getting better and cheaper all the time. I've got a little Zoom R16. It's a multi-track. It's about the size of a laptop. It does a lot more than I know how to do with it. There's all kinds of features I haven't even used yet, but I can do anything I want to do on it, as many tracks as I can ever put down. I have it in my living room. I just record. I record all the time, even when I'm just practicing. I'm always recording. It's very handy for that. Then when I want to do something serious, I feel that all I have to do is put down some clean tracks at the right level. I can take my time doing it, and then I'll take those tracks to a professional studio and have somebody with more expertise and more capability do the mix and mastering.
That's perfect. And so your whole outfit that you, your whole recording outfit, it wasn't real expensive. So somebody just starting out, it would be something that they could probably afford to get if they saved up their pennies, right?
I think so because I was pretty poor when I got mine. I managed to pull it off. So it's for about the price of a laptop. You can get something like I got and get started, plus some microphones.
Well, you know, the stuff that you record is great. Your songs are great. So, I have another question for you here. Some musicians devote themselves entirely trying to be like a rich, famous musician, but you have other things that you're equally passionate about. So, tell us about those.
Well, I'm sort of an outdoor person, and that's partly why I live in Colorado. I like the mountains. In fact, I just got back from hiking in the mountains. I went for about 10 miles or so. I camp out often, so every chance I get, I'm out in the woods. I've also have traveled to a lot of countries.
Yeah, tell us some of those places you've traveled.
Oh my. Well, mostly my excuse for traveling was to experience mountains in other countries besides the Rockies here in the Sierra Nevadas. I've climbed Kilimanjaro in Africa. I've climbed in the Caucasus in Russia, in the Andes in South America, and the volcanoes in Mexico. I'm looking forward to a trip next month to the Himalayas.
Wow. And so, how long will you be gone for that?
Next month it'll be about 3 weeks.
You're preparing by doing a lot of more hiking lately than you normally do, or?
Yes, I've been trying to get out with some friends or by myself and take some nice long hikes, and it's really much better than for me than going to a gym. I mean, geez, we live it in Colorado. We're fortunate to have the kind of natural environment that we have here.
So, when you get back from Nepal, what do you see yourself doing with your music?
So what's next musically? I always try and keep my hand in, and I never quite go very long without it. Part of what helps me do that is I'm a resident at a local honky tonk in La Porte here. I play at the swing station once a week, and that's a nice, comfortable thing that I do every week that keeps me engaged.
Yeah, what night are you there? So, in case people are listening and they want to come out and hear you, what night of the week are you there every week?
I do Monday nights,
Okay.
and I took Monday nights. I asked them for that because it was a night that didn't really interfere with any other gigs that I might want to do. Also, it was the slowest night of the week, and I told the owner at the time, I went in there and there was nobody there, me and him and the bartender, and I said, "Why don't you just give me Monday nights and I'll double your business," which was kind of a joke because there was no business then.
And how long have you been doing that on Monday nights now?
6 years, and since then the owners have changed. They've all been great. The business has really picked up, and I don't take credit for that. It's picked up on every night. They've done a really good job at remodeling and getting really quality musical acts down there. So that's why I like to be associated with them as well, because they are a bona fide music venue. They're not commercial top 40 type of stuff. They have really edgy original bands down there from all over the country.
And so, do you see yourself recording another CD in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I tend to accumulate a lot of what I call song fragments, bits and pieces of songs, start to accumulate, and I get a bunch of them. Gradually, I start going through them. Every time I sit down to play, I play around with each of them. Gradually, they start evolving into complete songs. I've got a lot of song fragments that I'm really anxious to see to fruition. While walking, a lot of times the lyrics start coming together for me.
I was wondering that, if that helped your creative process as you're walking through the woods and the mountains.
If I have a song that I think is a melody that sticks in my head, then I know that it's probably worth pursuing. It's sticking in my head. So when I'm walking, I can be humming that melody and I can be singing a few words that I have. The right words just seem to come if you let them.
Right. It's like a muse. Yeah. Well, Stephen, you know you're one of my favorite songwriters, so I will certainly look forward to your next CD. Do you have any words of wisdom for young songwriters who are in the music business? That's a loaded one there.
That's really hard because I'm often reluctant to give advice. I feel like I've done everything wrong at some point or another, but sometimes that's how we learn. There was one young lady who's in a local band here, and she was down at the swing station the other night. I actually did tell her that the thing to do is stick to what works for you. Don't try to be something else or try to cater to something else. You know, a lot of us so often have spent a lot of time trying to make it or to be successful in music or get attention or something like that, and we're really not doing what we're really meant to do sometimes. Well, see, it's almost like a cliche when you say be true to yourself. But I think there's certainly some truth in that. Of course, he's trying to discover who ourselves are, so it's okay to go ahead and try different things. You know, definitely do that because we got to discover who we are. But don't be led by the wrong things. Be led by that. Inside the muse. It's hard to articulate, but I think you understand it, and maybe some of our other songwriter friends understand that as well and can maybe articulate it better.
Well, Stephen, I think that you articulated it perfectly, and I agree with you completely. Just want to thank you so much for coming on to the show with me, being willing to do this Skype interview. Want to tell everyone you can find Stephen on Facebook, Stephen Paul Wallace. You can also go to his website, stephenpaulwallace.com, and you can find his music on CD Baby. So check him out, learn more about him. And right now, here's a tune by singer-songwriter Stephen Paul Wallace.
Strike down a man just like God's right hand and set the world on fire. Round about midnight, saw the lightning. Heard the thunder rumbling low. I got down on my knees when I came to believe there was no place left to go. Striking fire up on the mountain, striking fear down in my soul. Saw it flash and started counting. It was close. closer than before. If you're frightened of the lightning, then you know you're not alone. When it lights up the sky in the dead of night, it can chill you to your bones.
That was Lightning by Stephen Paul Wallace from his CD, These Roads. We're going to follow that up with a tune from his self-titled EP. The song is called You're Not Mine.
You're not mine, but if you were, it would be the sweetest song you ever heard. I am yours, heart and soul. Where this road is leading, I don't know. You're not mine, but I believe some things in this world are meant to be. We are one for all time. Even though I know that you're not mine, if it don't make me crazy, it might make me want you more. If I can live with the waiting, nothing will be like it was before. What's right or wrong? Till it does, I'll just keep holding on. To one fine day, I'll wait to find that you are and always have been mine. That you are and always have been mine. You are and always have been mine. That you are and always have been mine.
That was Stephen Paul Wallace with his song, You're Not Mine. Thank you once again to Stephen for joining me. Be sure to check him out at stephenpaulwallace.com. And a very special thank you to you for listening to this podcast. I hope something you heard was an encouragement, whether you're a songwriter, musician, carpenter, teacher, stay-at-home mom, it really doesn't matter. Just remember, we each have a gift to share with the world, and we're all here to do good and bless others. So until next time, this is singer-songwriter and studio session singer Beth Williams, wishing you well.
You've been listening to the Beth Williams Indie Americana Songwriter Podcast, where the Colorado Mountains meet the West Texas wind and beyond. Visit BethWilliamsMusic.com/Beth Williams Music Podcast to hear more interviews with Beth and her amazing guests.